الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Discussing the subject of Imamat, and as far as I recall, our discussion had reached the point where we would talk about Imama fil Hadith. So so we were discussing that Hadith al-Manzila, this is the name given to this famous hadith in Ilm al-Hadith, and the incident took place when the Holy Prophet was leaving for the Battle of Tabuk. Tabuk is a place which is located close to the border of so-called Saudi Arabia and Jordan. And because Prophet received the news that the Roman Empire is about to attack the Muslim government. And in order to defend Islam and Muslims, Prophet departed his city of Medina towards Tabuk, and that's where we find Prophet went there, and when he reached there, he discovered that obviously there is no war. The news was not authentic, and there was no war that took place. It was a long trip and very hard and painstaking travel. But this is another point to remember, that in Islam we don't allow the attacking army to come inside our home, which is considered to be an insult of the Islamic government. Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said in his hadith, ma huziya qawmun fi hukri darihim illa zallu. Whenever a nation is, in other words, whenever a nation is attacked in their own house, they become zaleel and insulted. So if ever you find the kuffar coming inside the Muslim country and attacking it, those people are zaleel and insulted in the dictionary of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha. These people are zaleel. That's why they let the army come inside their home and attack them. So we don't have this kind of insults in Islam. We don't believe in no violence, but we don't allow nobody to attack us. We have a right to defend. Isn't it right? So Prophet is at the peak of izzat and sharaf and nobility. He cannot allow zillat to happen. He cannot allow the kuffar to come inside the Islamic government and do their looting and their basically violence and aggressions, as always have been done by the kuffar against the Prophet's government and the Muslims. So we find Prophet moved forward, went towards the place called Tabuk. When he was leaving, that's where Amir Mumin alayhi salam, and this is what I'm narrating from Sahih Bukhari volume 6 page 3, Sahih Muslim volume 9 page, volume 1 page 44. So, and also narrated in Sunan Ibn Majah and Sunan Tirmizi and Musnad Ahmad, which are all great famous sources of the Sunni brothers and regarded as authentic books in the eyes of the Muslim world. And so we find Zallu. Thank you for correction. So Prophet, when he was departing, that's where Imam Ali said to him, are you leaving me among the children and the women? Because Prophet didn't take Imam Ali Islam with him in the Battle of Tabuk. So remember, we call those of the battles where Prophet was present, we call them Ghazwa. Isn't that right? So this was a Ghazwa where Prophet himself was present. And Imam Ali was not taken by him along with him. So Imam Ali said to him, are you leaving me with the kids and women? And that's where Prophet said what we call as Hadith al-Manzila, regarded by every man in the Islamic world. Everybody accepts this authentic Hadith, and I'm narrating it from Sahih Bukhari. It says, Ala Tarwa An Takuna Minni بمنزلة هارون موسى إلا أنه Now there are various narrations. Some narrations say إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ نَبِيٌّ بَعْدِي. This one from Sahih Bukhari says لَيْسَ نَبِيٌّ بَعْدِي And in some other narrations say إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. This is a little variation of narration. لَيْسَ نَبِيٌّ لَا نَبِيَّ. So basically this is from Sahih al-Bukhari. Volume 6 and page number 3. So we find that this is widely narrated, like I said earlier, from Sahih Muslim, Sunan Ibn Majah, Muslim Imam Ahmad, Sunan Tirmizi, and abundant books from Shia sources. This narration means that, are you not pleased that you towards me are on the status of Harun towards Musa, except that there is no prophet after me? So prophet is clearly defining the position and manzilat and status of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and we all know that Harun was the wasi and khalifa and deputy of Prophet Musa. So this is clear evidence about the imamat of Amir Mumi alayhi salam, as we are discussing the concept of imamat from the light of the hadith. And this hadith itself is narrated by 20 ashab. It's a great deal for people, for the muhaddithin and historians, to basically narrate sitting in the time 1400 years after the incident, but narrate a hadith from the time of the Prophet from 20 companions, given the fact that soon after the death of the Holy Prophet, there was a ban taking place on writing down the hadith. Isn't that right? Hazrat Umar had said that, I heard the Prophet saying, La taktubu anni, don't write down from my behalf. Waman kataba anni, and whoever has written down on my behalf, fal yamhuhu, he should erase it. This is what Hazrat Umar narrated from the Prophet, which is actually a fabricated statement. Prophet never said that, but that's how we find the ban took place. So the hadith was not allowed to be written. And we find that, sitting all hundreds of years after the incident and narrating from 20 companions is a very big deal. This has been said at the time when Prophet was departing for Tabuk. Now this has been narrated from various sources that look at we call it Hadith al-Mutawatir. Hadith al-Mutawatir is the highest category of Hadith. And the definition of a Hadith al-Mutawatir is that the Hadith is narrated in a way that causes yaqeen in the eyes of the person who is searching, doing the research and studying it. Anybody who studies the Ilm al-Hadith and refers to this kind of Hadith narrated in this way, will end up having yaqeen. This is called Hadith al-Mutawatir. So it is Hadith al-Mutawatir, which is the highest category of Hadith. Now, we find that apart from Sahih Bukhari, this is also narrated apart from Sahih Bukhari, it is also narrated that the Prophet has mentioned this hadith at the time narrated that Prophet let me write down the further sources for you. Sahih Muslim, volume 1, page 44, and also it is narrated in Tarikh Baghdad. It is one of the most famous, probably top 3 famous history books of the Muslim world, Tarikh Baghdad, in volume 7 and page 452. These are not the Shia sources. So we find it is also narrated that Prophet said this same hadith. Why do we call it Mutawatir? I'm trying to explain that to you. It's narrated, Prophet mentioned it at the time of departing for Tabuk. That's number one. Number two, its narrated prophet also said the same hadith at the time, the day of Mu'ahat. Mu'ahat, when the prophet established brotherhood between the migrants and the helpers, Muhajirin and Ansar. When prophet migrated to Medina, on that time, third of all, it's narrated that prophet also mentioned the same hadith on the day of Mu'ahat al-Awwal. That means the first Mu'ahat that he established in Makkah. In Makkah. So that was said at that time as well. The same hadith. Also it is narrated, Prophet said the same hadith on the day when he commanded all doors of all companions be closed except Imam Ali's door. In old days, remember, there was a masjid, and masjid was very small, and this was a small town of Medina. There were homes around the masjid, so people's doors used to enter straight into the masjid, and that was an annoyance for Islam and Muslims. Allah commanded the Prophet to shut down all the doors of people who are entering directly into the masjid. Except one door was left, which was the door of the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was allowed to continue entering from his house into the masjid. That's the incident I'm referring to. On that day when Allah commanded the Prophet to shut down the doors of all the companions entering into the masjid, Prophet mentioned this hadith as well. Fifth of all, he mentioned on the day. Fifth of all, actually, it is mentioned that I did not mention the fifth and the sixth and the seventh, but they are actually seven total incidents where the Prophet has said. Apart from these four, there are three other incidents also where Prophet has mentioned this same hadith. So the way it is mentioned by various authentic historians, muhaddiseen, several times mentioning it over and over again, it has been narrated. This causes certainly yaqeen in the eyes of the reciter that Prophet has mentioned that. And it's very clear in its implication. Hazrat Harun's status is well known for everyone. In our sources, you can just turn to three sources, and that is enough for you to find the whole treasure of all the references. The first and the biggest source is Ihqaqul Haqq, which is the biggest book of our Aqaid. The last time I checked, it was, I think, about 32 volumes. I don't know if they've increased in the world, because there were some scholars who were working to expand the book. So last time I checked, it was about 32 volumes. This is the biggest book of belief system for any religion. No one has that much big book of Ilm al-Kalam. So Ihqaqul Haqq is the best source, and also Al-Muraji'at, obviously, of Imam Sharafuddin al-Musawi. This is a single volume book which has sources. And another source, which is Ghayatul Maram. Ghayatul Maram is written by Muhaddis Ayatullah al-Ulma Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, where he has mentioned this hadith from 100 sources. 100 Sunni books. 100 sources of the Sunni brothers. So these three books are enough for you. If you want to go for the fourth one, the fourth best book is obviously Abaqatul Anwar. Abaqatul Anwar is a book written by Ayatullah al-Uzma Mir Hamid Hussain al-Laknawi, al-Musawi al-Laknawi. He is one of the great Maraja from Lucknow in those days, where Lucknow used to have a Hauza, unlike today. where situations have changed, unfortunately. So 7 volumes of this book were written by the father, Ayatollah Hukma Sayyid Hamid Hussain Musawi, and 8 volumes were added by his son Ayatollah Hukma Nasser Hussain Al Musawi. This is a 15 volume book which was the answer of basically, you know, which was related to the Tuhfa Ithna Ashariya, which was written against the Shia religion. So these 4 are the enough references for anybody who wants to write down, to search about the references of this Hadith al-Manzila, how we call it in Ilm al-Hadith.
A lot of Sunnis accept this Hadith, but then they say that this is
I'll take the question after the class. Thank you. So this is about the Hadith al-Manzila. Now let's move forward to the second reference, second Hadith. Did I erase this? Hadith al-Manzila, and then we have the second Hadith al-Da'a. This is the name assigned to the Hadith, which is related to the Da'wat of Dhul Ashira, when the verse 94 of Surah al was revealed, which is وَأَنْزِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. So Allah commanded the Prophet to warn his people of his tribe, the close ones. So after receiving the command, Prophet invited his people of his family. Obviously, you know, tabligh and propagation starts from your own family. We have to try our best to basically correct our own family members first. Our wife, our children, our relatives. And that's where the tabligh starts, from our own selves and our family, and then the rest of the people. So Prophet served the food for 3 days. For 3 days consecutively, Prophet invited the people of his family, and he made arrange for a little food, not a lot of food. And everybody used to come and take out the food from the same, everybody was receiving food from the same bowl of food, which is very less in amount, and it was not decreasing. So people, the whole gathering ate food from a small bowl that has the food. This is what is called barakat. Everything of the Prophet has barakat. So after the food was served, Prophet said, oh, the children of Abdul Muttalib, I swear to Allah, I don't know anyone, which I'm paraphrasing this long hadith in my own words, I don't know anyone in the Arabs who knows for his people better than what I have brought. I have brought the best of dunya and akhirat for you, and Allah has commanded me that I invite you towards that religion, towards this religion. Now which one among you is going to help me? So and he would be my brother, my wasi, and my khalifa and vice chairman. And Imam Ali alayhi salam was the only one who was actually the youngest in the entire gathering, was the one who replied that, "Oh, the Prophet, Messenger of Allah, I will help you in this way." And Prophet said in front of the entire, all those family members who were present, Prophet had said this statement, "Inna hadha wasiyyi wa khalifati fikum." Now you find some of those evil-minded people who have started to say the Prophet did not announce the walayat of Muhammad alayhi salam explicitly, that he just announced it implicitly. This is the beginning of the propagation of Rasulullah's mission, when he's clearly saying that this is my wasi and my khalifa. What do you call explicit? What else is explicit? But there is obviously much more to it than just this. There were people who are trying to support the kufr and zulm and the Zionism. So in the hada akhi, I'm sorry, I missed the word akhi here. In the hada akhi, wa wasiyyi. Certainly, Prophet is saying about Imam Ali alayhi salam that he is my brother and my wasi and deputy and my khalifa and vicegerent among you. Fasma'u lahu. So listen to him. Fasma'u lahu. Wa'ati'uhu. Ati'uhu. And again, these all the sources, if you want to need, you can again find in Al-Muraja'at, which is just a single volume book on page 130. You can find all the Sunni sources of this book, and also in Ihqaq al-Haq, which is the biggest book. Here you can also find the sources on page volume number 4, page number 62. You can find all those Sunni sources and other Shia sources. Among the Sunnis, famous Sunni scholars, this hadith has been narrated. These are some of the most famous historians of Islam in Islamic history. You cannot find more famous names in the Muslim world. These are some of the most famous ones, among the most famous ones: Al-Tha'labi, Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Tabari, and Ibn Athir. Abu al-Fida. All these famous historians of the Islamic world have not missed this hadith, and this is an ilm al-hadith known as Hadith al-Dar, Hadith of the House. Obviously, the response of the gathering was making fun of the Prophet, ridiculing him, and actually some people ended up saying to Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam that now you have to start obeying your child. Now you have to start obeying your own son. So and then we move forward to the third hadith. Are you done with writing it? Still writing it? No. third one is what we call Hadith al-Safina. Hadith of the ship. That's how it is commonly known in Ilm al-Hadith. And this hadith is like this. Ala inna masala ahla bayti, masala ahla bayti, fikum. سفينة نوح. أو مثلا سفينة نوح من ركبها مثلا سفينة نوح من ركبها Naja, whoever get aboard, the parable, an example of my Ahlul Bayt among you is like the Safina, the boat of Rasulullah alayhi salam. Whoever got aboard the ship, got succeeded. Naja, wa man takhallafa anha, and whoever turns away from the boat, got drowned. So this is another hadith al-mutawatir, and makes it very clear that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are the, we know in the history that only those people who were riding the boat were successful, and all the rest of the people drowned. So there were 80 people precisely in the history who were in the ship. 80. The city where the boat finally stopped, that was later on named as Madinatul Thamanin in the history, city of 80, because there were 80 people on board the ship only. And also we have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he says that Ahlul Jannate Ahlul Jannate Mi'atun Wa Ishruna Saffan. People of Paradise are 120 saf and ranks. That means on the Day of Judgment, when the people of Paradise will be standing, this will be in 120 sufuf. And 80 Sufuf, Prophet said in the hadith, 80 Saf belongs to his Ummah. So these, the 80 are the ones, so 80 were the people who were in the Safina of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. So basically, we must understand that only those who can, who got aboard the ship get got successful. So only those who get attached to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and obey them and follow them are the ones who are successful. Anybody who does not obey the walayat of Ahlul Bayt must understand that he is heading towards the destiny of those who did not join the ship and didn't get aboard the ship. Now this is also narrated in by, you know, Abaqat al-Anwar, by 95 Sunni sources. If you just have Abaqat al-Anwar, you can find 95 sources of Sunni books. So there is no need for us to write down those 95. You can just turn to Abaqat al-Anwar. You can find all those 95 Actually, I wrote 90 in English. I thought it's an Arabic 5. But I'm sorry, this is 90 sources. It's not Arabic, yeah. 90 sources, and you can find all those references there. And again, in Ghayatul Maram of Muhaddis Bahrani, Muhaddis Bahrani is the Mu'asir, Asr, contemporary of Allama Madlisi, and both of them were Muhaddis. Sayyid Ayatullah Al-Azma said, Hashim Bahrani in Ghayatul Maram has narrated it from 11 Sunni sources, and also narrated the same hadith from 39 Shia sources. So these are the references where those of you who are interested can find about hadith of Safina. And this hadith which I wrote here is, the text of the hadith is from Mustadrak, Al-Mustadrak al-Sahihayn. This is a book written by Imam Hakim al-Nishapuri, famous Sunni Imam, volume number 3, page 151. Mustadrak al-Sahihayn is a book that he has compiled in that book all those ahadiths which were left out by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, but he says that I have used the same principles of judging the hadiths which were considered authentic by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim for compiling the hadiths in their books. The same principles which they consider to be authentic, I have taken the same rules and principles, and according to those principles, the left out hadiths were compiled by him. But this is called Al-Mustadrak. Such a book is called Mustadrak in Arabic, and that's the name of his book. So here you can find this hadith which I narrated. Finally, we have two more hadiths left which I would mention. These are the most famous ones that we are talking about, and all of them are mutawatir. Obviously, the total number of hadiths are a lot, but we will just discuss the most famous ones in this class. So, then we move forward to what we call Hadith al-Sakhalain. It can be read as Saqalain, which means valuable. Saqalain means valuable. And if you read it Siqlain, it can also be recited as Siqlain, which means weighty. Saqalain and Siqlain. It can be read in both ways. Hadith al-Saqalain is mutawatir and mashhoor, and it is narrated by 30 ashab. As compared to Hadith al-Manzila, which was narrated by 20 ashab. Sayyid Hashim Bahrani in Ghayat al-Maram has mentioned this hadith from 39 Sunni sources, and 80 Shia sources. So obviously it's a very, very much widely narrated hadith, And in Abaqat al-Anwar, it is narrated from 200 sources, 200 Sunni sources. And the volume 6 of the book is related to this hadith. The 15-volume book, Abaqat al-Anwar, in volume 6 is related to hadith of Saqalain. There is much to be said and talked about. Before I mention the hadith, I will also mention some of the names of the books. There it has famous ones. It's Sahih al-Tirmizi. And Sunan al-Nisa'i. And Musnad Imam Ahmad. Kanz al-Ummal of Muttaqi al-Hindi. Kanz al-Ummal and Al-Mustadrak that we discussed moments ago. Al-Mustadrak ala al-Sahihayn. So these are some of the famous books of the Sunni brothers. And the famous narrators of this hadith are also worth mentioning. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. And Abu Dharr. Obviously, these are all people who are accepted by the Islamic world. Zayd ibn Arqam. And Zayd ibn Thabit. And Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm Salama. So these are some of the narrators of the hadith. And now let's go to the hadith itself. Let's remember that the hadith of Saqalain is part of the khutbah of Ghadir. We will come to the hadith of Ghadir, inshallah, later on. But there is... some of the narrators have mentioned that Prophet has mentioned Hadith al-Saqalain on the day of Arafah. Day of Arafah is the day when we go for Hajj. Some say that Prophet has mentioned this Hadith in Juhfa. And some say Prophet has mentioned this Hadith in Ghadir. The place called Ghadir. So Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm Salama says that she, Prophet mentioned this hadith on Ghadir. The hadith of Saqalain, obviously, let me write it down, that Inni Tarikun. I'm leaving behind among you two valuable things. Kitab Allah, the Book of God, wa itrati. Ma in tamassakum bihima. As long as you stay, you grab these two, lan tazillu, you will never be misguided. That's the guarantee and insurance. Wa innahuma, and these two, wa innahuma lan yaftariqa, and these two will never get separated. Hatta yarida alayya al-hawd, until they meet me at the hall. So this is full of wisdoms and prophecies. The Prophet is saying that Book of God and my Ahlul Bayt, as long as you grab both of them, you will never be misguided. They will never not get separated from each other until they both meet me at the hall, the fountain of Kaf. So, first of all, in some of the narrations, you also find the word Al-Kitab Allah, Al-Thaqalain, and then in Mithaq Al-Kitab Al-Thaqalain, Al-Siqlul Akbar Kitab Allah. In some of the hadiths, we find this word as well. Oh, Al-Siqlul Akbar Kitab Allah. Here, Al-Siqlul Akbar. Wal-Akharul Asghar. الآخر الأصغر إثرتي والآخر الأصغر إثرتي. That means, according to some narrations, and this is what I'm mentioning to you is from the narration that Allama Amini has mentioned in his book Kitab al-Fadil, which is the biggest resource now on the subject. Kitab al-Fadil is compiled by Allama Amini. It's in 11 volumes, and that's what he did a wonderful job in writing this book, traveling to the various countries for the sake, and libraries for the sake of writing this book. He traveled to Syria, he traveled to Lucknow, and he stayed in the Maktabat al-Nasiriyya, that is Nasiriyya Library of Lucknow, which is the historic library. He stayed inside the library for 6 months, and he was compiling this book. For 6 months he stayed inside the library. When he came back to Iran, somebody asked him that how was the climate in Lucknow, and he said, I don't know, because he didn't go out in the city. For 6 months he stayed inside the library. So Kitab al-Fadil is the masterpiece on this subject. So, before Allama Amini moves forward and talks in whole research-based details of the hadith, in the beginning, in the prelude of the book, he mentioned the hadith itself. And that's where, when he mentioned the hadith itself, in that narration, he mentions like this, "Al-Thaqal al-Akbar Kitab Allah." That means the bigger valuable thing is the Book of God, and the smaller one is Itrati. Now, there is a question that arises, that how come Quran is becoming bigger in this narration? That's what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, he was saying in his tafsir, that the word Thaqalul Akbar means that the Book of God is bigger in terms of the Hujjiyat. That's where the Book of God is bigger. Otherwise, the azamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is bigger than the Quran. So let's not be confused if you ever find this narration in any book with these words mentioned here. That does not mean that the azamat of Ahlul Bayt is inferior. Their azamat is bigger than the Quran, but in terms of the hujjiyat of the book, Quran is considered to be a bigger, valuable thing in terms of hujjiyat.
What is hujjiyat?
Hujjiyat means the legality and authenticity of that. Because the point to remember is that we turn to Ahlul Bayt because of the fact, the Quran is the yardstick. So we turn to the Ahlul Bayt And the authenticity of the statements of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, my teacher was saying, is relying on the authenticity of Quran. But the authenticity of Quran is not relying on anything else. Because Quran itself is a word of God and a miracle. Isn't that right? So in order for us to obey the Ahlul Bayt, we obey them because Quran is asking us to obey them. And their authenticity and hujjiyat of their words are resting on the authenticity of Quran. So this is the reason why my teacher said that in terms of hujjiyat, Quran is the bigger, but in terms of their azamat and greatness, Ahlul Bayt are greater than Quran. Okay? So also in the light of this hadith, we learn that we can never be misguided. These two are always, we need to grab both of them together. Anybody who claims that I just take the book of God and that's enough and sufficient for me, like, you know, it was said earlier after the Prophet that Hasbuna Kitabullah, book of God is enough for us. This is against the Hadith of Saqalain, which is also narrated in Sahih al-Sitta. Isn't that right? So Sahih Muslim narrates Hadith al-Saqalain, and Sahih Tirmizi also narrates Hadith al-Saqalain. So you have to take both. If anybody takes one, it means he's not taking none of them. Because if you just take one and not take the other, Prophet has already said that innahuma lan yaftariqa, they both cannot be separated. When they both cannot be separated, it means when you are taking one, you are not taking the other. Actually, you're not taking none of the two. Isn't that right? And they will meet together, meet with the Holy Prophet together at the halt and fountain. And according to the narration of Ibn Hajar, one of the very Platonist Muhaddithin, and Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, according to him in his famous book As-Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa. If you just pay attention to the name of the book, you can understand the person. Sawa'iq means the lightnings. Muhriqa means those of the lightnings that will burn down. So he's writing down a book to burn down the Shias. So he named his book as the lightnings which will burn down the Shias. Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa. Burn down the Ahl al-Tashayyu, in other words. So in his book, he also, in page number 75 of his book, after mentioning this hadith, he says the Prophet raised the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam and said that Ali is with Quran and Quran is with Ali, and these two will not be separated till they meet me at Kawthar. So this is, in other words, this is widely narrated, and that's why we call it as Hadithun Mutawatir. It causes yaqeen. It's narrated in various sources, and which is another proof for the imamat of the 12 imams. Inshallah, in the next class we will discuss the last one, which is Hadithul Qadir. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى